Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friend life. Good afternoon. Good morning in some places. God bless you. Come on in. Melvin G, come on in. Welcome, welcome, friends. This is Minister Dale Kendrick, and we are live on the Prodigal Church Hour, also on Periscope and on Friend Life. Good evening, good afternoon, or maybe to some it might be good morning to you. I want to welcome you to this time in the Word. We're not going to be here long. We're going to get into a 30-minute program, and we're going to get right through this. Today's topic is called the fear, or it's called do not fear death, not fearing death. Many people out here are fearing death. Many Christians are worried about dying, and I think that basically is an oxymoron because of our relationship with Jesus Christ, where we don't have to worry about death, not like the natural man, the ungodly man, the unsaved man or woman has to worry about death. None of us should have to fear death. And if you, I want to use the scriptures to testify and to give us an assurance of our salvation and our eternal hope is in Christ and in heaven. If you are truly a born-again believer, then you don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you when you die. But only you can answer that. I don't know anybody personally that's watching right now, but only you know where you are with Christ. And I want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can know that when you die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's one thing you should know for sure when you die or even before you die, you should know that you have a right, you're in right standing with God, and that you're in a right relationship with Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be here today. May your Spirit overwhelm us today. May it comfort us. May it give us the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And may it assure us of our relationship with Jesus Christ, our wonderful Lord and Savior. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to also invite you guys, if you're in the Los Angeles area, please come check us out, Core Church LA. If you don't have a church home, please come check us out, Core Church LA. You can go to www.corechurchla.org. That's core with a C, corechurchla.org. And you get all the information you need from that. But church services do start at 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 p.m. Monday on Sunday morning. So please know that you are invited. And you can also check out teachings from Pastor Steve Wilburn on the website, corechurchla.org. Also want to invite you, if you feel led, if you've been watching this ministry for a while, please prayerfully consider donating to this ministry on GoFundMe. It's at the top of the screen on my link on Friend Life as well as on Periscope. Please prayerfully consider donating $5 or $10 a month so you can be a partner with us in getting the gospel message out to the four corners of the world. Amen. And I promise you that it will be used just for that, for ministry and for building up the kingdom of God in this parachurch ministry. Amen. So, with that being said, let's get right into our lesson. We're talking about not fearing or having the promise of God for eternal life. And most people, a lot of Christians are concerned about their relationship with Jesus Christ. And we must not be walking around fearful of death. If you are truly born again of the Spirit, if you truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want you to be assured that you have eternal life. And the devil will try to trip you up. Your flesh might even try to trip you up. And the world will definitely try to trip you up. But you can know for without a doubt that you have eternal security with Jesus Christ. Let's start off here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And let us go see what the Lord has to say to us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, it says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep." Verse 15, "For this we declare to you by word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of a command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, again, thank you for the reading of this word, and may you shed light on this word and this truth, that we may know who we are, we may know who we are, in the name of Jesus. We need to be assured, friends, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't worry about in the body of Christ. Believers should never, ever live a life of walking in fear, wondering if we're going to get into the kingdom. Your eternal salvation is secure not based on what you've done, but based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. We must get that straight first. Don't ever think that you were ever good enough to make yourself holy or righteous with God. It's only in the finished work of Jesus Christ can we declare any goodness in us, any righteousness about us. And once we came to saving faith, and I'm not talking about a religion, I'm talking about a ongoing, prospering relationship where you and I are living and working out our salvation with fear and trembling. As Philippians chapter 1 tells us, that All right, we're supposed to be working out our salvation. Now, some people will take that and say, well, that means I got to work for it. No, you didn't work to get saved, but as you now that you are saved, now that we are saved, we need to work out our salvation. The flesh is always warring against the spirit. We learned that in Galatians chapter 5, that if we don't walk in the spirit, we will gratify the lust of the flesh. So you and I must walk as we must continue to fight against the flesh. We must fight against the devil. We must fight against this world and the temptations that are coming at us. Because, see, all three of those are enemies of the cross of Christ. All three of those are enemies in our life. So we need to be assured and know for sure that we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. That means each and every day you and I must make a position that we're going to die to ourselves, die to our flesh, die to those things that we like, the flesh likes, in other words. Because, see, we're still in this world, even though we shouldn't be of the world. Our thinking is different than the world, how we used to live. And let's look at this. It says, as individuals, I think there is no more difficult time than to express our true feelings. To find the proper words is so difficult, and words seem to inadequate, so incomplete. Yet we do our best to express our sympathy and our concerns to those left behind. Each and every time we lose a loved one, friend, we mourn the fact that someone has died. We know that it's not a feeling of enjoyment, even though they might have been believers. We need to understand that believers die. You know, I was talking to a sister today. We can pray for healing. We can believe God for healing, but God doesn't always heal us. See, I always say this: if God can heal us in the natural or just the physical of illness and stuff, then why doesn't He allow us to live down here forever, for all eternity? Well, He's not going to allow us to live down here for all eternity, and we know that sicknesses and diseases and all kinds of infirmities are upon us, even as human beings, even as believers in the body of Christ. There is no 100%. Life down here where we won't have any kind of physical attacks or any kind of ailments. And cancer is real in believers' life. I don't care how strong your faith is. I don't care how much you love the Lord. You're not guaranteed to live down here forever. If that was the case, you would never die. That's one of the things that we know, that death is defeated. I mean, death was defeated on the cross, and we know hell was defeated on the cross for the believer. All of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ don't have to worry about spending eternity in eternal damnation, because every unbeliever will spend eternity separated from God. All believers will live with our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So we need to be reminded of the fact that, hey, people die, even in the body of Christ. Look, I buried my first wife when I was 24 years old. She died of cancer, and I watched her go from a healthy, a beautiful woman, and she was in the hospital for about 9 months, and her body had started becoming brittle, and it broke down because of cancer, and the cancer spread it. Now, did she have faith that God would heal her? Yes, but He didn't. He did heal her of one thing, though. He healed her of the sin issue that she was dealing with. He healed her and made her whole in Christ. She was a new creation. And because she was a new creation, she was no longer an enemy of the cross, but she was born again of the Spirit. See, before that, I didn't know the Lord. Before that, we didn't know the Lord. But it was in that time, in that moment, she had no choice but to draw near to God. God put her or allowed a situation and a circumstance to bring her or draw her near to, for her to draw near to Him. And He drew near to her. What was the greater? Her being physically healed and not knowing Him, or her being spiritually healed and having a personal relationship with Him? And for 2 or 3 months, I saw a woman whose joy was and peace was upon the Lord, because she knew who her Lord and Savior was. I didn't know the Lord for another 4 years after that. But I knew Him when she met had a relationship with Him. I couldn't understand it. Why? Because I was a dead man walking. I was in my mess. I was in my sin. And I thought I had a relationship with Christ, but I didn't have a relationship with Christ. Let's look at this again. He says, those who are asleep. In the New Testament, the euphemism for death is used to be asleep. In other words, people that fall asleep, they're not soul asleep, because to be absent from the body is the body doesn't go with the Lord at that moment, but their spirit goes back to the Father. Now, either you are a child of God or a child of the devil. Those that are waiting for judgment, they're still in the presence of God, but they're not with God. They're waiting for judgment. That's when the second death comes upon them. That will happen after God brings all of us into his presence, sinner and saint. And there will be a judgment day, or the great white throne of judgment will take place. And that's where Satan, the Antichrist, and all those who have rejected Jesus Christ's love, that they might be saved. You don't want to be on that side. We're talking about for the believer. The believer has a personal relationship with God Almighty. And because you have a personal relationship with him, you can be assured that you're going to spend eternity with him forever. Hallelujah. Describes a euphemism, which describes the appearance of the deceased. There are people that have died since the beginning of time. And you got folks down here in so-called Christians, and they're very, you know, they really speaking lies, and they're teaching false doctrines, because they tell you, oh, everything's going to be all right. No, everything's not going to be all right, friend. We live in a fallen world. This world is travailing. It's getting wicked by the day. More and more people are doing more and more evil things. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. That's because sin is continuing to grow, and the love of most is waxing cold. So don't get it twisted or think that all believers are going to have a, you know, just skip through the floors. Jesus went through hell on earth. He was crucified. So guess what? He said if we desire to live for him, we're going to be persecuted. And you might be killed, just like those martyrs who were killed over in the Middle East because of their faith. They lost their head. Did God spare them down here? No. Did John the Baptist get spared when he lost his head? No. I get really disturbed when I hear so-called pastors who know better, but they teach a lie, or they add to the scriptures what God doesn't say. They want to claim that they can get all of the stuff down here, but they don't want to go through no suffering. They don't think they should go through any suffering. And my Bible says all who desire to live godly will suffer some form of persecution, right? And all who desire to live godly are not going to be liked. If they hated Jesus, they're going to hate you. We need something that speaks of certainty, not just hope. The certainty is that if God has given us life, he's given us more abundant life. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. See, we're too busy worrying about this physical tent. And this is not what we're carrying into heaven with us, friend. This body is not going into heaven. It's flesh. It's corrupt. It's still warring against the spirit. We need to know without a doubt that our security is in Christ alone. We need to have our focus on heaven and not on earth. Nor do we worry about staying down here forever. I'm not concerned about staying down here forever. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's the hope that I have. We need to also realize this, that look, he says it describes the death, the dead body, not the soul. 5:1-9. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Paul clears this up so we can be assured. Because I think so many people are worried about it. And I'll even take you to a specific scripture where even Stephen, the first martyr of the church, was thankful because he was going home to be with the Lord. He saw heaven open up before his eyes. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. He says, but we know that if the tent that is our earthly home, that's the flesh, it's a euphemism for the flesh, the tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. Don't you hear what Paul is saying here? He said that, hey, we have security in what God has for us in heaven. When we get to heaven, friends, we're going to be given a new body. A heavenly body, made for glory. It's not made for the earth. It's the same glorified body that Christ was wearing when he left here. We're going to have that. He says, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on the heavenly. The word groan here, Paul had a passionate longing to be free from his earthly body and all the accompanying sins, frustration, and weaknesses that were so relentless. Don't you ever just want to get out of this tent? Don't you get tired of the way you might think sometimes, the way you might act, the way your flesh craves sinful things? I can't wait to give it up. As a Christian, I'm still working out my salvation, still in this flesh. I still am subjected to the things of this world. I can still fall short, but God is so merciful that I can go before him and to give him and confess and repent and turn away from it. But it doesn't mean that I'm winning every day. Some days I'm going to fall short. Some days I'm going to act like my flesh instead of like the spirit. And we need to be careful of that, because Paul was still groaning and he was still struggling, just like all of us do. We all are still in this flesh. We're still warring against the flesh. And we need to realize that there's a battle going on. Amen? He tells us here. He says, we need to also look at, he says in verse 3, he says, for in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. Paul says, hey, when we put on this new flesh, we're not naked anymore. It's a heavenly body. We're clothed in righteousness. We're clothed in a heavenly body that God has for you and me. He says, may not be found naked in verse 3. Paul clarifies that the fact that the believer's hope for the next life is not a disembodied or disembodied spiritual life, but a real eternal resurrection body, unlike pagans who view matter as evil and spirit as good. Don't ever think that, hey, you're going to miss out on something when you leave this planet, friend. This is not the best that God has offered. This is not no Joel Osteen. This is not your best life now. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If this is your best life now, then that means God lied to us, because he told us he got a mansion for us. He told us there's going to be a place, there will be no more weeping, there will be no more tears, there will be no more evil, there will be no more wickedness. So how could I say this is my best life now? Because, what, you got a few bucks in the bank? Because you got a bunch of stuff down here, a bunch of cars? Is this really your best life now? If you had $1 billion, would it really be your best life now? If you don't have Christ, you ain't got nothing. And even if you had Christ on this side, you're still not in your best life now. It's only in Christ, friends. It's only when we get the glory that there will be eternal peace. See, people are still screaming, peace, peace. There will be no peace until the King of Peace comes and sets it right. Don't ever get it twisted. You're not going to get the best down here. This is not your best life now. This is not what God has for us. God has something so much better for us. So we need to be focusing on the King of Glory, and not on the King of this, on the lies of the flesh. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Do you believe that? Are you going to live by that? Are you going to walk in that? Let's carry on. Verse 4, he says, for while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. Not that we should be unclothed, but that we should be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the spirit of as a guarantee. Don't you? You need to really get this. It's the spirit of guarantee. The Holy Spirit does not lie because he's God. The Son doesn't lie because he's God. So if we believe that, we need to walk in that. We need to walk in the assurance that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. If Christ is in you, without the Holy Spirit, you're not his. You're not his, plain and simple. Guarantee, it denotes this. This guarantee, 2 Corinthians 1:22, real quick. 2 Corinthians 1:22 tells us. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Hold on here. Sorry about that. That's not it. I think it's 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, he says this. He says, and let's start at verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us. Verse 22. And who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit is in a believer. Every believer has the guarantee of eternal life because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Without the Spirit, you are not his. If you have the Spirit of God in you, then guess what? He will lead you to all truth. Your life should be a lifestyle of truth and holiness and godliness. Does that mean you're going to live perfect down here? No. But you should be striving to be more like Christ and less like the old man that you used to be. You should be striving to be more like Christ and less like that old wretched man that used to run and rule over you, rule, reign, and devour you. Go back to 2 Corinthians 5. We'll wrap this up. In verse 6, he says, So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, and we would rather be always from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please God. For we must all appear before the what? Judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, but this judgment seat for the believer is not a judgment seat of condemnation, but we will lose rewards that God has prepared for his servant, for his saint. Some of us will be given more rewards because of how we live down here, the lifestyle that we live for God, how we sowed seed into people's lives and led people to the Lord, what we did with the word of God, the gospel. All of those things are going to be judged. Our walk with God is going to be judged. When you and I came to the cross, friends, God has been grading us or judging us on what we did with the gospel in our life. How did you love one another? How did you show love to people? How did you minister to people? All these things are part of the family of God and a relationship with God, and we're going to be judged for that. Now, the great white throne of judgment is a place where people who have never, ever truly walk with God, truly embrace Jesus Christ as their Lord, Master, and Ruler. And they told God, hey, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to live any way I want to, and ain't nothing you're going to tell me. Well, guess what, friend? That's unbelief. That's not a walk of faith. That's fake. You got people right now today, they'll tell you, oh, I can live any way I want to, and God just don't love me because God is love. Yes, he is love. But love don't compromise, and love don't let you just violate his word and his will. See, if you really love him, you'll obey him and keep his commandments. That's what he tells us in Scripture. But let's go back and look at this and finish it up. He says in verse 6, so we are always of good courage. You and I need to take courage in the word of God because it cannot lie because God doesn't lie. We need to take courage in the word. He says at home in the body or away from the Lord. While a believer is alive on earth, he is away from the fullness of God's presence. However, Paul was not saying he had absolutely no contact because there is prayer, the indwelling spirit and fellowship through the word. Paul was simply expressing heavenly homesickness as a strong yearning not to be at home with his Lord. In other words, self-explanatory, is that, hey, we all should be homesick. We should all be living out of our suitcase. We should all be ready to go to glory because that's our real home. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, it tells us how that this is not our home. We're just pilgrims down here. We're sojourners, and one day we're going to be going home. If you truly are a believer, if you're truly a believer, guess what? You're yearning to get to glory. You're not sitting down here saying, "Oh, I just love this life so much. I just want so much of this earth." No, you should be saying, I can't wait to get the glory. I can't wait to get the glory. You should be encouraged and knowing from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one day, to be home with the Lord is going to be so much, such a place of tranquility, peace. You imagine a place where there will be no more evil, no more pride won't be in the presence of God. That's because God's place is a place of worship. We're going to be there for all eternity. Amen. Amen. Real quick, let's finish this up here. In verses, he says in verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, for 7, 8, and 9, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, you don't need to see heaven to know heaven exists. You're walking by faith. Not blind faith, but because the Holy Spirit in you should be leading you to all truth. You're not living this life down here just so you can say, well, I just got more, you know, I'm just walking by blind faith. I don't see nothing that God has done in my life. So if you've been a believer for a year or 6 months, you and I should know without a doubt that God is real. If you have been reading your word, studying your word, and meditating on your word, the Spirit of God should have already given you clarity and encouraged you in truth. You should have no doubt that God is real. Before you came to the cross, you probably didn't really know he was real. You knew there was a God. You acknowledged him as God. But I'm talking about when you and I got real with God, God started showing more of himself truly to us. And we started to see the blessing, purely the spiritual blessing, the peace of God. When the whole world was attacking you, you started seeing something that you didn't know about. And now that you have a relationship and you're getting in the Word and growing in the Word, you should be seeing more of Christ and less of your life, less of who you are. You should be seeing more of the Holy Spirit working in you and through you. And when you go and touch another person's life, you say, man, thank you, Lord, for using me. Do you know you're real with God when you can touch somebody's life and they can see the realness in you and they see the genuineness in you? Hallelujah. The last one again in verses 9 and 10, he says, 8 and 9, he says, yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body. In other words, this body, this earthly temple, and at home with the Lord. So where we are, at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So in other words, as long if you're down here, you live your life like Christ is right with you because he is. If you're up in glory, you're going to be perfect up there. You won't be sinning. You won't have no lifestyle of sin. And to be absent from the body or to be with the Lord, we need to be living in a relationship, living a lifestyle of holiness and living in a way that pleases God. We must all appear before the judgment seat of God, verse 10, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done or she has done in the body, whether good or evil. Each and every one of us, friends, need to keep short accounts with sin. We don't need to go around living our lifestyle. Just because you're a believer, that is not the desire of God, that you should be living a lifestyle of sinfulness. You need to be living like, hey, today could be your last day on earth. And too many professing Christians are continuing to mock God with a lifestyle that does not live up to the standard of holiness and righteousness. And you and I need to make sure that we're living pleasing God, because that's what God looks at. He wants to see our fruit. He wants to see holy living. He wants to see righteousness. So, hey, that's all I got to share with you today for this moment. We might come back and do a couple more periscopes a little bit later, but I wanted to just share this with you. Those on Flint Life, those on Periscope, and those on Blog Talk Radio, God bless each and every one of you. I pray that this message gave you some encouragement and some hope that you, too, can live a life that pleases God down here. Whether you're here in the body or away with God, you can be pleasing to him, not by the flesh, but by walking in the Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for this time in the Word. And we pray, Lord God, that this would minister to somebody, Lord, who may be struggling with their walk. they may take courage knowing that this word is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword and able to cut. Not only that, Lord, that this word, Lord God, the heaven and the earth may pass away, but the word of God will never, ever pass away. So let us take let us be encouraged knowing that your word is true and that we can walk in it and find beauty and we can find truth in it, as well as we can find assurance of knowing that you will never lie to us, nor never leave us or forsake us. We love you, we praise you, and bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, friends, if you don't know, please check out my GoFundMe account. If you feel led, please consider prayerfully consider donating $5 or $10 a month to this radio ministry for the services of bringing forth the words, God's word. You can also follow me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. Be my friend there. Continue to just lift us up in prayer. Continue to stand with us as we continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the earth. May the Lord bless you and keep you, his face shine upon you, and give you his peace. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you. On the way out, check this song out. Are you living out your suitcase?
I'm gonna make it out of my suitcase and clear the house.
sure you're living out your suitcase, friend. God bless. We'll talk to you later.